Footprint Show, where we talk about government, music, art, health, science, ufology, religion, metaphysics, and all things spiritual. In short, we'll examine the truth, and when we find things that aren't right, we'll offer creative solutions. And now, the host of Evident Footprints, Don Nikoloff.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Evident Footprints on BBSRadio.com. I'm your host, Don Nikoloff, and I'll be with you for at least the next hour. We have two guests tonight. Normally, my Friday night guest is scientist, inventor, author, lecturer, and teacher Jim Murray, who is also our resident science advisor. Jim was very gracious and considerate in allowing me to bring on tonight a very important story that has transpired within the past week or so. We could say, in a sense, the past 2 weeks. And I'm going to bring our guests on shortly. Here we are already September the 4th on the West Coast, the early morning hours of September the 5th on the East Coast, and in the Central Time Zone. We'd also like to welcome anyone listening to us on Wind Talkers Radio Network and on blogtalkradio.com. Say that 10 times real fast. Okay, I'm going to start out tonight. This story has got me very, very bothered, we'll say. I listened to tonight's guests on a Marines disquisition with Drew Raines earlier this week. And they were gracious enough to come on the show to share this very, very important story. It's a story about freedom of speech, number one. And I think more than that, it's a story about a subliminal type of indoctrination that's occurring in our schools. And I'm going to use an article that I found which describes a very one-sided description, by the way, of this story. And I find it interesting that this article came out on a website, nowpublic.com. And the writer, John Ospiri, wrote this article, and I'm going to credit these words to him. And I'd like you to follow carefully what he's saying. Heather Lawrence, a 16-year-old... Oh, I should read the title, I guess. Heather Lawrence comments to Muslim classmate earn suspension. Heather Lawrence, a 16-year-old high school student at Florida's Springstead High School, was suspended for telling a Muslim classmate to take off her headscarf and, quote, act like you're proud to be an American, unquote. Heather Lawrence claims that she made the remark because the Muslim student refused to stand for the Pledge of Allegiance. Lawrence said she was walking by the Muslim girl's classroom and saw that she was sitting down during the pledge. Lawrence then told the girl to take off her hijab and stand up. Lawrence was initially suspended for 5 days, but later had it reduced to 3 days after school administration met with her father. However, it appears that Heather Lawrence may not have been entirely truthful to school administrators. Springstead School Principal Susan Duvall said that an investigation into the incident found that the Muslim student had indeed stood up for the Pledge of Allegiance. Now, there are comments in quotes here, and I can only attribute these to who is underneath the quotes, okay? Here's a quotation to this article. "This girl lied," Duvall said. "I have confirmed with the homeroom teacher the young lady stood for the pledge. The girl and her parents also insist she was standing," Duvall said. Now, the source of this is TampaBay.com. "Moreover, Lawrence's teacher confirmed that she was in homeroom and couldn't have seen the Muslim student during the Pledge of Allegiance. Heather Lawrence's father, Mark Lawrence, stands by her daughter." Here is a quote again from TampaBay.com. "My daughter told me what she saw, and I stand by what my daughter saw," Mark Lawrence said. "I think school officials are trying to do some damage control." Since the story, this is unquote now, "since the story was made public, school officials have received phone threats due to the Heather Lawrence suspension. Now, there seems to be a one-sided affair here. They're very forward in naming Heather Lawrence. She got this suspension, and we don't really see a lot of congruence in the story. Her teacher says that she was in her home room. If she was, how did she get in trouble? It just doesn't make any sense. How would she get in trouble with any student other than whoever might be in her classroom if she was in her room? And how do we know that any teacher said this when there is no name for the teacher? So I find that this article is very misleading, and I find that the article is very one-sided and is not given Heather really the opportunity to state the case. We're getting spin here, folks. Now, I became interested in the writer, John Aspiri, and we're going to get into that a little bit after we hear the side of the story from tonight's guest, a former U.S. Marine, Mark Lawrence, and his 16-year-old daughter, Heather Lawrence. Welcome to the show, folks.
Hey, how you doing tonight?
Oh, I'm fired up, let me tell you. I'm loaded for bear.
Well, we're fired up, too. It's interesting that the story you just read is a great example of what's going on down here in Florida. You know, we basically have a school system that got put in an awkward position because they had handed out a punishment that was really unfair. And a great way for them to get out of that was to basically attack the credibility of my 16-year-old daughter. Now, you brought up a couple interesting points. You know, how could any of that have been true? Well, first of all, my daughter was running an errand for her homeroom teacher, and she was taking the attendance up to the office. Now, when the school came back and said that my daughter had lied, she never left her homeroom, you'll see who verified that, and that was the homeroom teacher. I have actually talked to several of Heather's classmates that were in her homeroom that remember her getting up and leaving and going to take the attendance roll to the office. Now, as she was walking through the halls in the administration building is when she happened to see the girl not standing. The confrontation actually happened a couple class periods later in the hallway where she did make the comment, you know, take that thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American. The problem I had with the whole thing was when it got put on a discipline report, the teacher that had heard this, her name was not on the discipline report. And in addition to the comment which Heather admitted to making, which was take that thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American, was a whole other tirade that Heather supposedly said, which I confirmed that Heather did not say, with a friend of hers that was actually with her when the incident took place, which was the teacher asked Heather why she said that, and they said that Heather started ranting that the girl looked Middle Eastern, she looked like she was Iraqi, and all Iraqis are the enemy. And I talked to the girl that was with my daughter, who said that is absolutely not true whatsoever. The true statement was the teacher asked, why did you say that to that girl? And Heather replied, she wasn't standing during the pledge. And then the teacher said, I hope you apologize to her for that. And that's what really happened. So, and my other question is why would a school administrator, an assistant superintendent, reduce a suspension if they were actually able to come back and say my daughter had actually lied? I would assume she would be in more trouble for lying. So, you know, there's a lot of things here. Unfortunately, it's being done at the cost of my daughter's integrity. People are calling us racist. You know, people are saying, you know, I've brought up my daughter to be racist, and I'm trying to back her now. Now that she's been caught lying, you know, we should have just let this go. And you know, I'm 10 times more fired up now than I was last week when the original incident happened.
Yes, Mark, if I may comment here, I see two fronts on the American people, and these are frontal attacks on the American people. First of all, our freedom of speech. I see desecration of the flag or disrespect to the flag, disrespect if what Heather is saying is true. And to me, it's the only plausible story here. The story that the school has brought forth makes no sense whatsoever. Now, if Heather says that she saw this walking past the classroom where they were saying the pledge and that student was sitting, it must have bothered her to say that. So what you're saying is she said that while she was on this errand to the office. Is that correct?
No, she said that later in the day when she actually saw the student. When she was running the errand, she saw the student not standing, but she didn't confront the student until later in the day, which was like two class periods later when she actually saw the student, she made the comment to her.
Okay. So this becomes sort of like a he said, she said type of event, even though it's
correct.
Between...
Correct. It's a he said, she said, only I talked to classmates of my daughter who are actually verifying the story. And for some reason, on the school side of it, when they said they completed their investigation, so to speak, that was done with two school teachers. Now, I can tell you this. When my daughter went back to school after being suspended, she stood up in her homeroom class, and the first things out of her mouth was, how many of you guys remember last week when I took the attendance up to the office? And a lot of the students said, we remember that. You know, why are you asking? And Heather looked right at her homeroom teacher and said, because someone is saying that I didn't take the attendance up to the office last week. And, you know, everyone in her homeroom was just, you know, surprised that anyone would say that. Heather didn't say the teacher said it, but from the same news report you read, you know, that's the information we got out of it. Is basically their investigation consisted of going to two teachers to do a little bit of damage control, and they basically verified, you know, what the story said.
Mm-hmm. Now, it seems awful convenient to leave the names of two adult teachers out and put the name of a 16-year-old girl in there.
Well, if you'll notice, there's no teachers' names, there's no other student names. Students at the school have been suspended for actually walking up to the principal saying, why did you lie about this? I think there are three students suspended that I know of so far that actually, you know, went to the principal and asked, you know, why did you lie? And, of course, they were immediately suspended because they're calling the principal a liar. Other students are being told not to talk about this, and all of the faculty and staff has been told not to talk about this. I don't know what that sounds like to you, but to me it sounds like, you know, now have they not only lied, have they not only questioned my daughter's integrity, now they're trying to cover it up. They don't want anybody talking to the media. They don't want anybody making any statements.
Yes. Well, I became interested, and I think before we bring Heather on, I would like to just describe a little bit of homework I gave myself. This article was written in TampaBay.com by John Aspiri. Now, I never heard of this journalist before, so I became a little bit interested, and I have quite a bit of experience, we say, going down the rabbit hole as a researcher. And I find that they're owned by Times Publishing Company in St. Petersburg, Florida, which raises many red flags in the course of my research. I'll just say that much. I began to do a search on this journalist, and I found out that he appears to be located in Vancouver, Canada, which to me, that's very strange. You would think someone in the area might be investigating this or reporting on it and certainly concerned about bringing out the truth. I looked for Mr. Aspiri in Canada, couldn't locate him there, but found an address in two places, one in Northfield, Minnesota, and another one in Federal Way, Washington. Now, what's significant about Federal Way, Washington, there are two major corporations there. The Weyerhaeuser Lumber Company, they're described as the largest landowner in that area. And the other is World Vision. and that sticks out like a sore thumb. They have 26,000 employees, and I presume many of them are busy writing articles such as this one on the Internet. I don't know this for certain, but why that address in Federal Way, Washington? Why is it that I can't find a real name for this person? Well, this could be the pen name. Actually, that name is spelled with an H, J-O-H-N, not J-O-N like it is in the article. That's a Spanish family. Nothing against the Spanish, but I find it interesting that someone that can't be documented in the United States officially, other than some addresses and phone numbers, and it seems to have a connection in Hartford, Connecticut as well. I'm in New Haven, Connecticut. Well, there again, those are red flags to much of my ancient research into Nazism and fascism and communism and Zionism. And so there is an attempt here to take away Heather's First Amendment rights of freedom of speech, and assuming that because she's speaking the truth and it contradicts what they are attempting to do within the public school system, they're painting her as a liar as a way to excuse themselves. And when it's quite obvious that the government lies to us at every level, and I certainly can describe a lot of corruption going on in the school system, and this is really a human rights issue, and this is a national issue in terms of it's a constitutional issue. And I'm speaking about our constitutional republic. I'm not speaking about the administrative branch of the U.S. government. I'm speaking about our basic freedoms, the basic tenets of our freedoms. And I see this as an attack on our country, on our flag, disrespect to the military people who have given their lives. And I know that Heather has much to say on that, and I don't want to steal all her thunder. But I'm going to get down to the bottom of this, because this stinks to high heaven, I have to tell you.
Well, it sounds like you love doing investigative reporting. I'll give you a couple things you may want to look into.
Okay.
First of all, if I were to tell you that there were a high school principal down in Florida that was fined $1,500 and suspended with pay for plagiarizing a story, and if I told you that same high school principal has already been involved in a First Amendment issue within the last 6 months by taking the valedictorian speech, basically going to the valedictorian and telling her if she read that speech as it was, that she would not be the valedictorian and she would not be allowed to walk, gave her a pre-written speech to read, would it all surprise you if you found out that was the same principal that's Heather's principal at Springstead High School?
Oh, it wouldn't surprise me in the least.
It
would not.
A little bit familiar as far as, you know, freedom of speech and First Amendment rights. Here's the other thing. If there's two different newspapers we have locally, and I noticed this myself. We have where the majority of people seem to see this article, which is part of the Tampa Tribune in the Hernando Today section. And you can go back to last Friday when that story was originally written, a week from today. And if you'll look, when that story first came out, the last time I looked, it had about 35 to 40 pages of comments. If you'll read those comments, about 80, 85% of those people that are commenting are agreeing with Heather. There's another newspaper we have locally that's called the St. Petersburg Times. If you go back in their archives and look at their original report, you'll see that about 70 to 75% of the commenters in that particular newspaper disagreed with Heather, saying she was a bully and, you know, both of us are racist. The difference in those two newspapers is every single comment that's written on the St. Petersburg Times website is not posted for anywhere from an hour and a half to about 3.5 to 4 hours later. Every single comment is being censored, either by an editor or by someone in that department. And then if you'll notice, when the second story came out on Monday, when the school came out and said, the girl lied, the headline in the St. Petersburg Time was just that. 16-year-old student lied. And you'll notice the comments again are about the same percentage against Heather in that particular newspaper. Versus the Hernando Today, which is part of the Tampa Tribune's version, still gave the same information, toned down quite a bit. The headline wasn't "The 16-year-old lied." It was "School officials state, you know, this is what happened." The difference in those two papers that I found was the St. Petersburg Times can get direct comments from both the principal, Ms. Duvall, and also the assistant superintendent. The Tampa Tribune cannot. The reason being is the Tampa Tribune broke the story about the valedictorian's violation of her First Amendment right at the end of the school year last year when Duvall forced her to change her speech.
Wow. Well, this and now the information you're giving me, are you surprised that I went down the rabbit hole on this internet article? Because this is from the Times in St. Petersburg.
Imagine that.
Yes. Imagine that.
It's
but
there, got a big learning more. Experience for us.
There's more. Believe me, there's more to come forth. I just am outraged, incensed that this is another example. You know, this is like spitting on the flag. This is like flag burning. Okay, that didn't occur. But the disrespect, and I have no reason to doubt from what I have heard from Heather and what I know about her, I have no reason to doubt her story. And I see the spin here. Why is it that they have so conveniently left the names of the teachers out? What are they protecting? Are they protecting the truth from getting out? I can guarantee you I can investigate this story. And I can find out the teachers' names, and I will publish their names. I will publish their statements. This is going to get heavy because her freedom of speech has been attacked. That's a First Amendment right there. And the tolerance, you see, this is teaching the kids that you speak up about these foundational principles, these constitutional principles, and this is what's going to happen. You're going to get expelled from school. And I understand from Drew Raines that he did some homework on that particular school, and it's actually got one of the worst ratings in the whole state of Florida.
It does. As far as dropout rates, one of the highest in the state. Basically, what the high school tells students, especially if they're not doing well scholastically, is you should just go ahead and drop out and get your GED. And that's not other kids recommending this to children that are doing poorly. This is teachers, principals, and guidance counselors. And I know that well because my other daughter that attended school there was one of those people that they recommended that to. They said, you know what, you're not really doing that well in school. It would just be much better if you went ahead and got your GED. And that's a sad shame when our school officials, our teachers, our guidance counselors that we're entrusting our students to and our children to recommend that they just go ahead and drop out. Now, there's a reason behind that. The reason behind that is the funding for the school. If the school doesn't attain a certain grade point average, their funding is dropped. And if you'll notice at Springstead High School, it's one of the only high schools in this area that has 8 class periods. All the other schools have 7. And the reason being is that extra period is being used for academics. If someone has a lower grade, they can make it up. And it's now a B-rated school, I believe. They were a C-rated school or a D-rated school, and now they've gone to a B. But it's almost like they're cheating to get that rating.
Yes. Certainly, this story doesn't help the rating any.
Well, again, they're doing their damage control. They're putting their spin on it. My neighbor was out in a restaurant the other day, and he said, you know what? A lot of people are against your daughter now because what they're seeing in the newspaper is your daughter lied. And it's very tough for me to prove that she's not lying, because first of all, I have to find teachers that are willing to lose their job to come out and say, hey, we were told not to say anything, or that's not true, I did not say that, or I have to find a student that either has 1 to 4 years left at this high school that's willing to come forward and say, I saw this, this is what really happened. Because all those kids, you know, they're scared to death of what's going to happen to them.
Well, this shouldn't be put on the kids. Where are all the parents? Now, the parents are reading the newspapers, of course.
Parents don't want their kids involved in this.
Yeah.
I mean, it's been a heck of a learning experience for me.
Yes,
you know,
and I'm
now
sure...
Now they've hung my daughter out to dry because all they had to do was reduce her suspension, and I would have gone away. You know, but instead they've attacked my daughter's credibility by calling her a liar, and you know, I want to come after them with both barrels now. You know, all they had to do is admit, yes, we made a mistake. You know, we gave her too stiff of a punishment. You know, it was a comment that was off the cuff. She shouldn't have made it. But we're going to go ahead and let this thing go. But what they want to do now is say, we're going to go ahead and reduce the suspension, but at the same time, they're accusing my daughter of lying, which is just absolutely, you know, infuriates me.
Yes, I would think...
Well, you've got the parents' view now. Yeah. Let me let you talk to my daughter, Heather.
Yes.
She actually had to live through this, and she can tell you what she saw and how she feels, because, you know, I'm hot, I'm like you are, I'm upset. But she actually lived through it, so she is
yes.
on the line now, and feel free to ask her anything you like.
That was going to be my next question. Let me bring this straight to the front center, and invite Heather on. Heather, how are you this evening?
I'm good. How are you?
Good. You're hearing me and your father talking about this issue. If you would, I'm going to give you the opportunity to describe the day in pertaining to these incidents, when you arrived at school, what you did, and how this event transpired, and then what followed, if you would. Well, let's stay focused on that. I'm going to let you say it in your own words, okay?
Okay. Well, it started out on Tuesday, actually. There was a couple kids in my ROTC class who were talking about a girl who wouldn't stand for the pledge. And then the following day, on Wednesday, my homeroom teacher asked me if I would take the homeroom count sheet to administration. And on my way, I actually saw a student who wasn't standing for the pledge. And, you know, I assumed that's who everybody in ROTC was talking about. And I actually encountered that student later in the day. And, you know, I said, take that thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American. And a teacher heard it and actually pulled me out of class and said, why did you say that? And I said, well, I said that because she wasn't standing for the pledge and that's really disrespectful.
Oh, okay, wait, can I interrupt you just for a second?
Yeah.
Okay. What is the name of the teacher, first of all?
I don't know, to be honest with you.
Okay, this was like another class's teacher that actually came to your classroom?
Yep.
Okay, what is your classroom's teacher name?
Miss Basil.
Miss Basil?
Yeah.
Is that B-A-S-I-L?
Yeah.
Okay. Miss Basil, okay. Now, you don't know the name of the other teacher, but so what you're saying is this teacher came to your room and confronted you. What did your teacher do about that when that happened?
She didn't do anything. Well, actually, they didn't just pull me out. They pulled out me and one of my other friends, and it was actually the same friend that was with me when I was walking down the hall when I said that to her, which is why she got pulled out also.
Mm-hmm.
And, Now, neither of my teachers were out in the hall to hear it. So, like, when one of my teachers, Miss Basil, she was the one who was there when the other teacher confronted me. But my other teacher, Miss Lightham, she didn't even come in until, like, 5 minutes after the bell rang, which everything had already been done and said by then. And, like, the teacher that heard it told Miss Basil, and Miss Basil told Miss Slidham, and they all kind of added in their own little spin on it, and it turned out being something absolutely ridiculous, and I got written up by a teacher who wasn't even there.
Okay. Now, that's pretty interesting to me. Now, just for the sake of the listening audience, and I want this is to give you the chance to reinstate your reputation, which has been slandered, libeled, and defamed by the media, and definitely by these people. From what I can tell, on all accounts, it appears that that's what's occurred. When you made this comment to this girl, you felt, and I'm sure a lot of this has to do with your patriotism. You're considering going into the military, possibly as a career, after you get out of school, and then continuing with college. Is that correct?
Yeah, that's correct.
Okay. Now, so when you made this comment to this girl, knowing that quite possibly you could be working in a foreign country, certainly around foreigners, did you have any malice towards this girl because of her ethnic background or her race or anything like that?
No, of course I didn't. And that was actually something that I pointed out to my administrator, and I said, you know, if this was a white student, and I said, you know, a relatively rude remark, would I still be here? And he said, oh, well, that would be different.
Why would that be different? Let's say it was a baseball hat. Would that be different?
Yeah, that's that's what I didn't understand.
Okay, so this hijab that she was wearing, Was that to be taken as a religious expression on her part? Do you know? Or is that just a customary way she dresses at school all the time?
I don't know. I've actually heard a couple different things. I've heard that it was a sign of modesty. And I also have heard, though, that it is part of her religion. So I'm not really sure exactly which it is.
Yeah, what I'm getting at, I'm wondering if you were to walk in wearing a cowboy hat and left it on your head all day because that was part of your religion, would they make you take it off?
Yeah, and this is coming from a school who, you know, religion is not supposed to be a part of.
Yes. Well, definitely they're taking God out of the church, the school. They're taking it out of the church, too. But they're taking it out of our society completely. And I'm making a statement, you know, that I recognize is going on all over this country, in the courts, in the public buildings, at official events where we're supposedly gathered in a patriotic kind of way. Definitely in the school, they have taken God out of the classroom, in that we used to be, when I was in school, we used to be allowed to say a prayer quietly. No one was praying out loud, okay? No one was demonstrating any overt expression of their religion or their faith. But people would simply bow their head, close their eyes, maybe even fold their hand and say a prayer. And then we said the Pledge of Allegiance. And we meant it when we said it. And all the students stood up, and whether we understood why we put our hand on our heart or not, we did that. And we recited the pledge. And it was a solemn event. And certainly, if what you say is true, and other students already knew about it, those students also should have been questioned if this is a recurring event, in other words, is what I'm getting at. Now, why do we make this such a big deal? It's something that occurred, it's something that happened, but you were severely punished for what happened. And it does, I'm not saying you're totally right in addressing the girl, maybe in the way you did. I wasn't there, so I can't make that judgment. But neither were they. And it seems to me that you had a bunch of teachers gang up on you to carry out an agenda, you see. This is about an agenda that really none of the students want to participate in, and like your father said, none of the parents want to participate in that, but they do not want to subject you to that either. Nor do any other true Americans want to see that happen in our schools. So it's a form of very subversive or subtle, subliminal propaganda to get people to conform to a certain type of behavior. And when you speak the truth, what do? They come against you. Why? Because they want everyone to be an automaton. They want you to be a robot and just do what they say. And you have freedom of speech and you have freedom of expression. And it seems to me that your freedom of speech has not just been violated, but they have actually soiled it, if you get my meaning. So I want to allow you to continue. So basically then, you were taken out of the classroom at that point, and what happened?
And that was it, actually. After the teacher had said, well, she hopes that I would apologize to the girl, I actually did apologize to the girl the following day. And then the day after I apologized to her, which was 2 days after the incident, I got called down to the assistant principal's office, whose name is Mr. Cragnoli. And he told me that he was going to suspend me for 5 days, and the discipline had all these completely ridiculous things that it's trying to say that I said. And he actually called my dad and told my dad that I refused to sign it and that he was going to suspend me for 5 days unless he came down there and had a successful parent-teacher conference. And so my dad came in, and of course it didn't go too well because my dad was not happy about it at all, and he didn't, you know, support Mr. Cragnoli's decision to suspend me. So he refused to sign the discipline, and they actually suspended me for an extra 2 days. So it went from 3 days to 5 days again. And then actually later on, the superintendent of the whole school system took 2 days off it, so it went back to three in the end.
Now, do you have happen to have a written copy of this statement that he asked you to sign, or was your dad able to obtain that?
Yeah, my dad actually has it.
Okay, I would be very interested in seeing that if you would share that. Mark, are you still with us?
Absolutely. Yeah, I'd be happy to share that. And that's one of the reasons I wouldn't sign it was based on what it said. You know, when Heather said, "Take that thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American," that Heather did say. The problem I had with the statement is the statement went on to say, and again, this was from one teacher talking to another teacher in a hallway, and what they claimed Heather did was started ranting and raving that she was enlisting in the army and she was going to Iraq and the girl looked Middle Eastern and all Middle Easterners were the enemy. And that's why I absolutely refused to sign the statement. My daughter didn't say that. And the reason that they said they were going to suspend her initially was because she had made a threat. Well, if you look at the statement that she actually made, which was, "Take that thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American," I asked the assistant principal to show me how that was a threat. And he said, "Well, okay, it's not a threat. It caused mental duress." And I said, "Okay, if it caused mental duress, who did this girl complain to? You know, did she complain to you or any of the other teachers or anybody in the administration? Who did she complain to?" And she said, "Well, the girl never complained." And I said, "Well, how could this be mental duress?" And the reason I got so ticked is because this assistant principal, his name is Steve Cragnoli, has a double standard. A year ago, not even a year ago, last year before school let out, and I want to say it was in May, Mr. Cragnoli called me and said, "Mr. Lawrence, come and pick up your daughter. She's very distraught. She's crying hysterically. I don't think she's going to be able to finish the rest of the day." And I said, "Okay, I'll be there in 5 minutes." So within 5 minutes, I was there in his office to pick up my daughter, who was crying hysterically, and I said, "What happened?" And she said, "Another student made a comment about Chris," which is my daughter's brother, it's my son. And he was in a life or death situation. He was in an intensive care unit in a hospital, and he was on a respirator, and he almost died. In fact, he did die a couple times, but they brought him back. And the girl said, you know, I heard about your brother and I wish he would have died. You know, he should have died and I wish he would have died. And my daughter was hysterical. So I asked Greg Nolly then, a year ago, I damn well expect that you're going to take care of this, correct? And he said, oh, yes, sir, Mr. Lawrence. We don't tolerate behavior like that. This girl's going to be dealt with, you know, stringently. And I said, okay. He never did anything. He never called the girl into his office. She received no type of discipline. She received no type of suspension. And I brought that to his attention last Friday, and he, for some reason, couldn't remember that. And I brought that to the principal's attention and the assistant superintendent's attention on Monday when I went and met with them. And they told me they were going to research that and get back with me because that type of behavior wouldn't be tolerated at their school. Neither one of them are returning calls now.
Maybe they should have John Aspiri research that.
Absolutely. I think John would be a great guy to research that. We'll see what he comes up with. You know, and just to give you an idea how scandalous our school system is down here, not only is there issues with the school, there's issues with the superintendent's office. The superintendent was just fired for lying on his application. He forgot to mention he was, and don't quote me on this, but I think he was released from his last position at another school. So, you know, there's a lot of issues down here in wonderful Hernando County, Florida. So,
well, I find it strange now that we have this issue that he said that the girl that Heather talked to didn't complain. Then how did this matter get to the teacher's attention?
The teacher heard Heather make the statement, take that thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American. But the reason, I said, why are you giving her 5 days out of school suspension? He said, well, because Heather threatened this other girl. And I said, well, you know, tell me how it's a threat. And he couldn't do that. And then he said, well, it caused mental duress. And that's when I said, well, did she complain? And he said, no. Then it went to harassment. Then it went to bullying. Now it's back to harassment. And I mean, harassment or bullying to me is if you don't take that thing off your head, this is what me and my friends are going to do with you after school. That's a threat, that's harassment, and that's bullying. But a 16-year-old girl making a statement to another 16-year-old girl, and yes, it was an inappropriate statement because she said, take that thing off your head, but that was the only thing that was inappropriate. Act
yeah.
like you're proud to be an American isn't really that inappropriate, I don't think. And when the teacher asked her, why'd you say that? And she said, because the girl wasn't standing for the pledge, which we have learned now in Florida, that's your constitutional right. You don't have to stand for the pledge. To me, that's absolutely pathetic. But it is a law in Florida. But I think, out of respect, you should stand for the pledge. Even if you don't say it, I think you should stand. Just like if Heather were in Afghanistan, Heather would either have to wear a burqa or she would have to walk around covering, you know, all of her exposed skin, long sleeve shirts and things like that. And Heather would do that out of respect because she was in another country. So it opened up a lot of issues down here.
Yeah, well, they have a dress code in school. That's the point I'm getting to. And they're willing to draw the line. Either there's being a political statement is being made or some expression of religion. And we're supposed to have separation of church and state, which basically means that the state cannot dictate how one worships. But the way they do that is they take the religion out of the school. So I find a contradiction there. Either that girl is making a religious statement, or she's making a political statement, or both. And I'm now the teacher claims that she heard that. Do you really think that that's credible on the basis that it takes three teachers to gang up on a 16-year-old girl?
The teacher thinks she heard what?
These other comments being made.
Oh, that she didn't, and, you know, Heather's on the line still. I actually talked to the girl that Heather was with, and Heather said those statements were not made at all.
Well, that's what the point I'm making is how did it come about that this teacher, if she was there and heard the first one, then she would have heard the second one, but no one else is saying that the second statement was even made.
Correct. What do you feel about that, Heather?
It was actually the first teacher who heard the statement had nothing to do with the discipline that I received. It was the teachers who, that first teacher who heard it told. It was actually the first teacher who heard it told another teacher who told another teacher who wrote me up.
Yeah, to me, there seems to be a lot of potential for hearsay, doesn't there?
Absolutely. First of all, the teacher that heard it's name is not on the discipline report. Also, if you're in Florida, or at least in this particular high school, a discipline report has a certain day on it. Heather made this comment on August 26th. The discipline report says August 26th-27th. Well, there wasn't 2 days involved there. You know, these comments were made at one time and one day, you know, to take the thing off your head and act like you're proud to be an American, first of all, was the only comments that were made. The confrontation after the comment with the teacher, where she said, "Why did you say that?" And Heather said, "Because she wasn't standing during the pledge." And then the teacher's response were, "I hope you apologize to that girl." That was all done the same day. That was on the 26th. I remember that because it was my birthday, and when Heather came home that night, she told me what she had said, and both her mom and I said, "You shouldn't have said that about take that thing off your head." You know, I don't have any problem with my daughter being patriotic, but, you know, and now especially since everyone's putting a racial twist on this, you know, the take the thing off your head comment was, you know, off the cuff and not really appropriate. But that's what everybody is concentrating on. Of course, now everyone's concentrating on Heather's been called a liar. And, you know, Heather's an ROTC, and lying is not allowed. What was your biggest fear when you went back to school, Heather, about once they said you're a liar pertaining to ROTC?
When I went back to school, my biggest fear was that I was going to be singled out, actually, or I was going to be kicked out of ROTC because that's actually what they said might happen because I did one of the interviews in my uniform.
Well, I have a problem here. We seem to have a bunch of teachers that act like principals. We have all these chiefs and no Indians, so to speak. Why is it that no one had a problem with this teacher disciplining Heather, a teacher who's not her teacher, who got this information from another teacher who got it from another teacher? I mean, what is wrong with this picture? Where was the principal throughout all this, or the vice principal, or the hall monitors, if they have them? They probably have police, I would guess, roaming the halls, but from the sound of it. These teachers were totally inappropriate in addressing her that way. They should have, if you're handling it properly, the principal would have the student brought into the office, and the issue would first be addressed between the two students, I would think.
Absolutely.
Okay. And then you get to the bottom of what the role of the teachers are. Certainly as a principal, I would be concerned about what the teachers were doing in my school.
Well, I think I, as a principal, would have done my, and this is quote, investigation before I would have allowed any student to be suspended, because supposedly, the supposed investigation that took place, Heather was suspended on Friday, I want to say around 11 or 12 o'clock. I immediately went to the media, and by 8 o'clock that night, it was on the internet. By Saturday morning, you know, 6, 7 o'clock in the morning, it was in both the St. Petersburg Times and it was in the Tampa, you know, Tribune.
Damage
control. The principal
control.
Would not have seen that story. At the earliest, she would have seen it Friday night. I met with the principal and the assistant superintendent at 12 noon on Monday. So So when the school said there's at the completion of the investigation, it was determined that the 16-year-old girl lied, that investigation must have taken place between about 8 o'clock Monday morning and 12 noon when they met with me. And if you'll notice, reading those articles, it doesn't say the school conducted an investigation and spoke with students involved. It says, Heather's homeroom teacher said that Heather didn't leave the class, so therefore she could not have seen this. And then it said, the other girl's homeroom teacher said the girl was standing during the pledge. Now, my wife and I had a debate one night why this report might have two different dates on it. After Heather said something to the girl on Wednesday, the girl very well may have stood up on Thursday, because Heather actually went and apologized to the girl Thursday afternoon and said, I'm sorry, I shouldn't have made that comment to you. The girl may have also stood up on Friday. So I guess it would depend on how that girl's homeroom teacher was asked the question. If someone said, did you see the girl standing for the pledge? She could have very easily said yes if the girl would have stood on Thursday or Friday.
Mm-hmm.
But if someone were to ask her, did you see the girl standing all week, or did you ever see the girl seated? Because my daughter was told on Tuesday that the girl was sitting for the pledge, and then she saw her herself on Wednesday. And then I've talked to students that said Heather left the classroom to take the attendance up there on Wednesday. You know, we saw her leave. So they've got teachers verifying, you know, what happened. But the students, again, are not coming forward.
Yeah, okay. Now, Heather, to your knowledge, have any students been warned or indoctrinated as to what they were to say if they were to speak to anyone from the media, from the press or TV or radio?
They told students at ROTC not to talk about it, not to make any comments about it. And I think that's pretty much what everybody has been told.
Why did they say not to talk about it? Were they afraid the truth might come out?
That's what I think.
Well, right now it sounds to me like the truth is coming out. This is a completely different picture than what's being portrayed in the media. I have to tell you that.
Oh, absolutely.
As I said, and I think, Mark, you agree with me, that, and Heather even agrees at this point, that she probably shouldn't have made the comment, at least in the way she did. I think maybe it was the manner in which she did it, but I don't feel that requires a suspension by any means, and especially without a proper investigation. That's another
issue. The media
issue.
Also, you know, the media likes to sensationalize stories.
Yes.
Every single interview that we did for the newspaper, both newspapers, and for multiple television stations, I said the main reason that I did this and brought this to the media was because of the assistant principal, Steve Cragnoli. It was the way he handled it. I shared with them the story about Heather last year when the shoe was on the other foot and Heather was the girl that was under emotional duress and nothing was done. None of those stories, or none of the media outlets reported that side of the story. What they did report was the sensational part of it, that a Muslim student didn't stand during the pledge, and, you know, Heather was being patriotic and then made the statement. And then they reported that now Heather's a liar and you know, now they're just destroying her credibility. But no one besides Drew's show, a couple other radio shows that we've done, and your show this evening, have ever allowed us to come out and say, this is why we called the media. We called it because of the administration's way of handling the issue. Granted, the storyline has become, you know, the Muslim girl who had a hijab on that didn't take it off and that wasn't standing for the pledge, you know, But the truth of the matter is the reason why we called initially was because the school mishandled the thing right out of the box.
And they appear to continue to be doing that.
Now they've done 100 times more damage taking the course that they have to try to, you know, cover the tracks, to brush it under the rug, and basically just not to be honest. You've got a principal that's known for lying. You know, she's lied before. She lied last year earlier this year when the valedictorian story came out. She said she did not tell the girl she couldn't walk, and she did. You know, she was caught for plagiarism. She was fined. She was suspended. You know, so that's the principal. You know, this is the one that's the captain of the ship.
Yes.
And you've got subordinates underneath her, and when they're doing like a puppet court investigation there, now two teachers have come forward and said this. Well, they must have done it really quick on Monday morning, because by 12 o'clock they had spun the story to your daughter lied, and how do I feel about that? And I'm like, what are you talking about? And they said, well, your daughter lied. You know, she made all this up. And I said, no, she didn't. And they're like, well, we want to know what you're going to do about your daughter lying. And I said, I'm standing behind my daughter. And I should have known right then what they were going to do. And I do remember the superintendent saying something like, well, we'll have to correct this story, not fully realizing what they meant is they're going to slander my daughter's reputation and blame it on her for, you know, she's lying now. Instead of just, again, admitting that they made a mistake and...
You still there, Mark? Okay. Seth, I'm presuming we're still on the air. Obviously, the phone got cut off there, so we're going to try to reestablish our connection with... our guests, Mark and Heather Lawrence. And Seth, I know you're hearing me, so if you can get them back on the line. We've got a caller, I guess. Seth, if you can put Jim on the line here, I'll talk so we keep our conversation going here. Jim, welcome to Evident Footprints. Jim, Your phone sounds like Darth Vader with a sore throat. can you try calling back, or maybe use a landline if you can? Sounds like you're on a cell phone. We have a very bad signal. We'll hope he comes back on. We're waiting. This is interesting. We got to a very tense moment there, and all of a sudden, no contact. Very, very interesting. I will say this while we're waiting for Mark and Heather to come back on, if they do at all. This is an example of things that are going around the country in our school system. Coming up on September 8th, President Obama is going to speak about some issues with our preschoolers and kindergartners and the young students, maybe all of them. I don't know what age groups are involved, but when you look at the fact that now you've got a politician addressing kids in school, what kind of impact does that have on these kids? Look at the impact he had on adults in the campaign. Look at the impact he has. But many of the things that we brought out about Barack Obama have come to pass. They have come to be true. And I have been very outspoken about the whole fraud that's been perpetrated on this country. And in respect to that, what I can say is that, you know, things are going to get worse if we don't do something about this right now. And we have to stand up for our children. We have to stand up for our constitutional republic. And we have to get off our rear ends and speak the truth about matters like this. This is total mind control, propaganda, brainwashing, not just by the media, but by the school itself. That they would lie like this and impugn the characters of the very students whose lives and minds they are entrusted with, to set that kind of example, to fabricate stories and lie and slander and defame them and libel them. This is outrageous, and anyone out there that has half a brain should be on the phone calling up that school, calling up the school superintendent, and calling up the media in that area, Spring Hill, Florida. And the school is Springstead High School. Give them a piece of your mind and tell them what you think about what they've done. This matter will have its day in court, I'm sure, and there will be many, many people coming on board. I guess we're having trouble getting a hold of them. I got messages flying all over the place.
Yeah, we're back.
Oh, you're back, Mark. Good.
We're okay. On the line.
I just ranted for a minute and just said how outrageous all of this is, and that I encourage the listeners to take a stand, and if they feel that Heather is telling the truth here, and they feel whether, let's put it this way, whether she's telling the truth or not, there should be an official investigation without the spin. And to me, they're committing crimes here.
Well,
okay?
Definitely slander, if nothing else.
Well, but there's fraud involved here. When teachers are lying to impugn the character of one of their students, this is sort of what I was talking about while you were off the air. I feel that if the law is not going to do anything about it, then we have a right to exercise our freedom of speech, like we're doing right at this moment. You see, this is an attempt to shut us up. And most people would just sit back and do nothing about it. I don't know if we had a caller on the line. Jim is, I guess Don is in the control room now. Don, is Jim with us, or did we lose him? Okay, we lost him. Evidently, he didn't want to wait. What's interesting is the motto of this school, I understand, is the bald eagle. Is that correct?
Yeah.
Or the motto's not the right word, but what the heck's the word? The mascot. Is it a live bald eagle or is it a stuffed one?
Oh, it's they have like a stuffed one, yeah.
Okay. That says a lot right there. I don't know if I gave you the opportunity, Heather, to say everything that you wanted to say. I'm sort of trying to see, paint the picture of how this thing progressed, and there seems to be a lot of backroom discussions, or even if they were in the hallway, the way that they went about this absolutely is obscene, and you have a right to have this become an issue. Now, understand, I don't intend to do that at your expense. You know, you're a 16-year-old young lady. You definitely have some opinions about what you want to do with your life. I know that. And my intention is not to drag you through more mud. But if anything, I can help wash the mud off that's been thrown at you right in your face, if you understand my meaning. But is there anything that you want to say that I didn't give you the opportunity to say?
No, actually, you gave me the opportunity to say everything that I wanted.
Well, isn't that a miracle?
And you didn't edit anything out or put any words in her mouth.
Well, no, I have some suspicions, but you see, you know, I've sort of made a career out of debunking the history, and I've made a career out of debunking the media, because the media is spinning. If anything, I'm putting the brakes on, the spin, on this particular story. If I put myself in your position, Mark, I would be outraged. I don't know that I could contain myself as much as you have.
Well, you know, I'm a pretty laid-back guy. You know, obviously, I'm the one that went to the media, and it's not for what everyone thinks, at least from the comments I'm looking at on, you know, some of the websites. I don't want my 5 minutes in fame this way. I would have found something better to do to get 5 minutes of fame, especially at the expense of my daughter. I'm upset, with the way that the school administration handled this. That's why I took it to the press initially.
Mm-hmm.
This, I think, above all, now that they're calling my daughter a liar, should show people, you know, what my original intent was just that, was the way things are handled in this particular school system, in this particular county, you know, in this particular state. You know, Florida has over a 40% dropout rate with children. I think that's absolutely ridiculous. It's a shame when third world countries have a higher graduation rate, you know, than we do in America. It's a shame that Florida, being one of the largest states and probably having, you know, some of the highest revenues generated for taxes and things like that, has one of the highest dropout rates, or the highest dropout rate in the country.
Yeah.
And I know on Drew's show the other day, you know, he said, hey, if you live in Tennessee, Arkansas, or Mississippi, you guys don't have anything to be ashamed of. Florida's 50 out of 50, and I think it was either North Dakota or South Dakota that had an 86% graduation rate. And, you know, kudos to those guys up there in those states. You know, the people that really care about their children, they get them a good education, where everything is not a scandal, from our superintendent being fired to our principal being, you know, fined and suspended for plagiarism, to her not allowing Valedictorian to say her speech, or threatening that she won't be able to graduate Valedictorian and won't be able to walk. I mean, that is atrocious. And now what they're doing to my daughter is atrocious. And like you heard on Drew's show, if I could figure out a way to pull my daughter out of this school system and send her to 2 years of military school and then get her into a military college, you know, that would be the best thing in the world for my daughter. But as it is now, she's going to stand proud. You know, she will complete her her education in the public school system, and she'll make the best of it. You know, and she more than likely will be going into the Army in less than 7 or 8 months, and then she will be defending our country and our Constitution.
Yeah, and we certainly want to know what kind of person she is when she does that. And I would say already, you know, we've got to look into this a little bit deeper. I don't mean to sound like I'm changing subject. We've got a couple of callers on the line. So callers, I want you to be brief and to the point. If you have a comment or a question for Mark or Heather Lawrence, we have Jim from Georgia. I guess you got back on the line. Jim, what's up?
First of all, my immediate comment is this. The war in Iraq has not a damn thing to do with defending this country. It's basically being used as a enforcing a Patriot Act, and it's basically based on lies. Okay, we created Al Qaeda. That's undebatable. If we're defending the country, we need to care more about American freedom than Iraqi freedom, and bring our troops home. Okay, if he loved his daughter, he would be encouraging her not to join a military that's serving a Luciferian agenda. And even Dr. Carley, who speaks out on the swine flu that has appeared on Drew's show, stated that. Now, getting to the issue in Florida, I love my country, I love my flag, but what I've heard, and maybe I can be corrected by the rumors I've heard, what I've heard, and I didn't hear the show on Drew, is I've heard both of these individuals, the father and the daughter, state that people need to stand up and they not disrespect the flag. Well, look, I don't like it when people desecrate the American flag. I don't like it when these anarchists defecate and urinate on it. However, if the price of freedom means free speech, means expression that we may and may not agree with, speech that we find offensive, okay, now we see this socialist Obama trying to stifle free speech, but he's not, and everyone's upset about it. Well, you know what? He's not doing anything that we didn't do trying to stifle other people's free speech, and it's either the left or the right. It's all about free speech. Let me ask him. I think anybody who doesn't want to stand up for the pledge or allegiance, or they want to sit down, if they want to destroy the our nation's flag, if they go out and purchase a flag and they want to destroy it, rip it, that is their right as a freedom of expression in the first place.
Okay,
I find it offensive. Wait, I find it offensive. But
Jim,
that is
Jim,
the right.
Hang on. Jim, your phone is breaking up, and I can barely understand.
The right to express yourself should not be infringed upon and saying, well, they shouldn't do that. And you say, people died for our freedom. You're right. My dad served 26 years. I'm a former police officer. I am an oath keeper, and I took an oath to defend the rights of people that I disagree with, both politically and religiously. And people, unless they're creating an endangerment, people need to do that. Drew Raines doesn't believe that. Drew Raines is a loudmouth Marine that hasn't been in for decades.
Okay, Jim, I want to thank you for your comment. This show is not about dogging other talk show hosts, especially my friends. Thank you for calling in. Have a good evening. Okay, well, sorry about that, Mark and Heather. This person,
Heather, what do you think about that? Tell them how you think. What do you feel about
you want to respond? Go ahead.
Actually, personally, I like Drew a lot, and I agree with how Drew feels on, you know, pretty much every issue that he's touched upon. And he's not just a loudmouth Marine. Actually, he's somebody who, you know, did actually fight and serve for our country, and people need to have respect for not only him, but for what he does. Just like they need to have respect for not only, you know, the soldiers and the flag, but what it stands for.
Yeah, well, I was willing to listen to Jim's comment, but it seemed like he had two sides to it. And when it gets into maligning guests on this show, other talk show hosts, and friends, I don't have to listen to it. And I know my listening audience doesn't want to listen to that either. So let me add that there. I apologize that we all had to go through that. Now, we have on the phone Ken Adachi from educate-yourself.org. Ken, are you with us?
Yes, I am, Don. Thank you.
You have a comment or a question for Mark
or
Heather?
Yes. I've been listening to the story. I was not aware of the story until I heard the show tonight. But I just want to express my thoughts of support for the courage that it takes for a teenage girl and her very well-spoken father to have the guts to stand up for this sort of issue. Now, what I particularly was pleased to hear Mark say is that he fully realized that the part about take that thing off your head, etc., was unnecessary and somewhat offensive. But yet he said that right out of the box. But the idea of standing up is not out of the box, and it's it can be debated whether she should have said anything at all, perhaps. But there's an issue here that they're addressing, that the teachers, the principals, etc., at the school are ducking from, and that's the point, I think, of the story, is
the
that
truth.
it could have been
simple as the
been
truth
resolved quickly had the, as Mark said, Mark already said it, had the administrators, you know, looked in the mirror and said, wait a minute, we're just, our ego's getting in the way here, our authoritarian posture is getting in the way here, let's all back down, we went a little too far here. We shouldn't have gone overboard and just said, listen, let's just, let's everyone shake hands and just walk away from this one. And I think Mark said that would have been fine with him. He didn't want to go toe to toe with these people. He didn't want to put on his football helmet. But what they did is that they were cowards. And, they took the easy way, the, go along to get along, posture, which, in the short run, may seem convenient for them. In the long run, we, the American people and the American society, pay a huge price for that attitude. And we see it in the police. We see it in a lot of places where inappropriate, unconstitutional, criminal, fascist, authoritarian, whatever word you want to use, conduct is being condoned or allowed. We see it in many avenues now in expressed in American life. And it's only individuals like this man and her daughter who stand up, go to the press, you know, go to Drew Raines, go to Don Nikoloff, and fight it and air it, that we, you know, other concerned Americans even become aware of the story. There's always a huge price to pay for standing up in this way. I'm sure, you know, those two folks will come to see that. But that's what it takes. Something is improper, unconstitutional, violation of fair play, let's say, you have to stand up. If you're a person who wants to, you know, make your presence in this world count. And so I take my hats off to both of them. I think they're doing the right thing, and I totally agree with you, Don. The teachers involved, their names, their photos, their comments, etc., this should be spread all over the internet. These people need to learn a little lesson in humility here, and they've absolutely done wrong to accuse this girl of lying. And something has to be done about it. I'm sure glad you're doing the show.
Well, I want to add something. Thank you for your comments, too. You bring a lot of reason to this. You know, I certainly have invested some time in this, and I have some emotion about this issue on a variety of fronts. Before this story, and I'm sure it will continue. It so happens that this is a prime example of what is occurring in our schools today to our children. They want to call us brown shirts, and yet they're trying to make brown shirts out of our children. And anyone that studied the history of the Nazis knows the role of the brown shirts. We don't have to spend time on that. That's obvious that's the ideology that's being practiced here. That these teachers can lie, that they can create stories to set up and malign one of their own students. How do you think Mark must feel being put in this position and having to defend his daughter? He is called a liar, you see. Mm-hmm. He's defending a liar. That makes him a liar by implication. Of course, anyone listening to the show and hears the passion and the consistency of their story, and I've heard them being interviewed by Drew Raines as well. So I'm quite familiar with the story, but I felt that these questions needed to come out to bring some clarity to what this girl has said, because she hasn't contradicted herself. A lot has gone on behind her back, and she can only relate it to us in this way that shows that they're covering this up, that they have policies that are understood. You see, the teachers have been indoctrinated to act this way, because certainly the first teacher having said this to another teacher wouldn't cause that to mushroom into three teachers being involved, none of whom were there. And then the ones that are supposedly talked to and interviewed by the media know nothing about it. According to what Heather said, her homeroom teacher wasn't even there. So we have all these people trying to cover their tracks, and they've done a very lousy job at it. But I'll say this much. In a school district that has a 46% graduation rate, Heather has 54% of the argument on her side right out of the box, based on their educational history. So, Heather, you have a feather in your cap on that one. And I'd say, wear it to school. It's a bald eagle feather. Wear it in your hair. I'm speaking figuratively. Now, I received the number of the high school for anyone that wants to call up and give them a piece of your mind. We're taxpayers. We pay for these schools. These people are employed by us. It's our money that pays them. And let's get that straight. You see, the government is the servant to the people. It's not the other way around. This number for Springstead High School is area code 352-797-7010. Again, 352-797-7010. If you would like to give them a piece of your mind, I think they deserve it. They've earned it, and we've paid for the school. It is our school. These are our servants, and we are entrusting our children with them. We have a right to demand that they have hold up higher standards, especially when it comes to telling the truth. Ken, any other comments?
Well, I just want to pass on my encouragement to both Mark and Heather, it's not going to be easy. These people aren't going to retreat easily. They should have done it in the beginning. So I would just say, based on, you know, my experience in life, they don't go softly into the night in this situation. But when you're right, you're right, and you got to stand up for what's right. That's what counts. And in the end, truth will triumph over deceit.
Well, I appreciate you calling.
I'll definitely cover this on my website as well.
Okay. So we can look forward to seeing this soon on educate-yourself.org, right?
Right. I'll get the particulars from you. And
okay.
I'm gonna find out whatever papers there. Maybe Mark can tell me whatever articles that's been presently printed about. I'd like to see a copy of that, as well as the paper that you mentioned earlier in the show that they wanted him to sign.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. If you'll check out the St. Petersburg Times website and the Tampa Tribune website, both of those have news sections. And if you click on Hernando's the county that we live in. And some call the flag flap. You know, some are saying ROTC students suspended. But then you'll find all the relative stories in the archives. And you'll be able to see a lot of the comments. Drew Raines actually just emailed me while we were doing the interview with you tonight, and I'm going to send him up a copy of this the disciplinary report also, and you'll can see that they wrote down refused to sign for both myself and Heather, and the first sentence on there is true, where it says what Heather says, but then it goes on to say that she ranted and raved about Middle Easterners being the enemy. That's what Heather did not say, and I talked to the girl that was with her who verified that Heather absolutely did not say that. You'll notice there's two teachers' names on there, and there's two dates on there. And the teachers' names that are on there did not witness the incident, and I've never seen an incident report or a referral report with two different dates on it. Two different dates would merit two different reports. So out of the box, you can tell it's just not normal.
Well,
the way that
yeah. Obviously, these teachers aren't very familiar with logic. You know, it sticks out like a sore thumb. I know it does. Well, Ken, I want to thank you for calling in, and
thank you, Doug. And
look forward to seeing your story on this. So there you go, okay. Mark. Help is on the way. Now,
right.
I want to point out.
Thank you for your support. You know, as you guys are reading those articles, maybe you'll understand a little bit more about our school system. There's one of the people on those websites, I think they call themselves the Hernando County Educator or Teacher in Hernando County. And take a look at how those are written. You'd be amazed at how many words are misspelled. And now, if our teachers can't spell properly, you know, that's a scary thing. And I don't know if they're a part of the 40% that dropped out and, you know, got a teaching degree online and now they work for our schools or what. But pretty sad when a teacher wants to comment on a story like this and actually can't spell.
Yes. Well, certainly, we're going to dig into this a little bit more so we have more of the facts. I look forward to getting some information from you. Now, Drew Raines sent me a copy of a letter that he had written to the principal there, Miss Duval, and I know he was pretty hot about it and actually had some things to say that chime in with us. He went a little bit deeper even. But, you know, citing some history and the significance of this event, you know, to me, the issue is about the flag. It is about honoring our country. And as I'm this is not to beat a dead horse. I'm not saying that I agree with how Heather handles it. I think in retrospect, she probably feels the same way. She could have handled it differently. Yet to fabricate the story, to add information that didn't occur, to imply that racist comments were made or to, you know, in other words, it's not the issue of her patriotism that's being questioned. It's it's some aspect of her that is totally untrue. And I'm sure that that's what's got you upset too, as well. Am I right in assuming that?
Absolutely. Heather, do you agree?
Yeah.
Yeah, and you know, as a journalist and a truth seeker, I have a lot of people trying to discredit my work and the work of my guests on the show often, or things that I might publish, because they, when they see the truth, they don't want people finding it, so they have to mask it. I've done monologues on this. I did a two-hour soliloquy on this very issue. Of brainwashing and propagandizing, and this stinks. This is very amateurish, though. These people are not even competent to be doing this kind of covert activity because they don't have the capacity. If they don't have the capacity to produce a high level of graduates from their school system, there's obviously some severe problems there in their own abilities. And they seem to be quite adept at lying. Now, if they were teaching kids to lie, I think they'd pass 100%. They'd graduate 100% on that basis. But where is that going to get those kids? And I'm not suggesting at all that that's what they should be doing, but that's what they are doing. And they're setting that example for the kids, and the kids are afraid to talk or have possibly been told, at least we know, that the ROTC class was ordered not to speak about it. Well, it's obvious that there's going to be lawsuits. There's going to be an investigation. And it will mushroom into something. But we're talking about our country here. And we're talking about our future, which is in our children. And we must take a proactive interest in that. Heather, do you agree with that?
Yeah, I do agree.
And you understand what I said as a 16-year-old. You understand the significance of what I said.
Yeah.
Well, then you're a pretty smart girl. Did you get good grades in that school? Have you been getting good grades?
Yeah, I get relatively good grades.
Okay, good. All right. You know, I'm not going to delve into that any deeper than that, but you're saying you get pretty good grades, okay? Do you feel it's because of the honesty of the teachers, or is it the work that you put into it?
It's the work that I put into it, definitely.
Yeah. Have you learned anything about honesty from this experience?
Yeah, because it was kind of like, I don't know, it was slightly hard to have to publicly admit that I was wrong, but again, you know, I had to be honest, and I couldn't act like I, you know, was proud of making a statement that I wasn't, so.
Okay, how about the other aspect of what transpired after you made that comment? What did you learn about honesty? And I'm implying after you apologized, after this event occurred, and you heard what the teachers were saying, what did you learn about honesty there?
Actually, I was quite surprised to find out that teachers would, you know, lie publicly and would create their own, you know, version of a story that they weren't even around.
Yes, yes, okay, that's my point, you see. It's not just in politics that this goes on. It goes on in all aspects of our lives. And I have to commend you, Heather, at 16 years old, for admitting publicly to the world that where you made a mistake, but in the same sentence also expressing your regret that those that are charged with the responsibility of teaching you and guiding you along the right path have chosen to misrepresent what you've said, and in so doing, misrepresenting the truth. Is that sort of sum it up?
Yeah.
Well,
that
maybe
actually
I can
sums it all up perfect.
Maybe I can put that in an article. Mark, do you have any closing comments you want to make?
Well, you know, I'd like to thank everybody for their support. Heather has gotten emails from active duty service personnel that are currently serving in Afghanistan and Iraq. She got a a call from a retired general. She's gotten a lot of calls from Vietnam-era veterans with both the Marine Corps and the Army, you know, that served in Vietnam, and all applauding her for what she's doing. She's gotten a couple postcards and a couple thank you cards from different people. And, again, most of these are ex-military people who, you know, said it takes a lot of courage to do what she's done. But those are the guys that gave their lives for the freedom of speech. And, you know, there's a freedom now in Florida where you don't have to stand for the pledge. You know, Heather obviously disagrees with that. I disagree with that. I think you should do it out of respect. There's a lot of people that gave their lives for people's ability to have freedom of speech. It's a great country because it allows us to have this conversation. Because in a lot of other countries, you know, if we were trying to buck the system or we were trying to go against, you know, what the government was telling us to do or what any type of system was telling us to do, you know, they would have cut your show off probably a minute or two after you started airing it, and we wouldn't be around to talk about anything like this ever again. So, you know, I commend my daughter for being patriotic and for standing up for what she believes in. And I'd like to thank you for taking the time to have us on your show and to get the message out there.
Well, I would like to thank you on behalf of myself, and I'm sure BBS Radio, Blog Talk Radio, Wind Talkers Radio, and the millions of people around the world that are listening to this show tonight and on rebroadcast. This show is going to get a ton of airplay, I guarantee you. And we are going to continue to pray for you, and we're going to be there to get the whole truth out about this issue.
Well, thank you very much.
We're going to reinstate her reputation one way or another.
Well, so, I'm sure that would make Heather happy, huh, Ed?
Yeah.
Okay, you know, well, I want to thank you both for being on the show. Can I invite you back again for an update down the road sometime?
Absolutely. We'd be happy to.
Okay, maybe we'll bring you on next time we have Drew Raines on. How does that sound?
That sounds good. I think Drew's a favorite of Heather's, or Heather's a favorite of Drew's, one of the two. So.
Yeah, well, you know, he's a loudmouth Marine, but he's a whole lot more, and I can tell you, he's one of the greatest patriots we have in this country.
Hey, and it's okay to be a loudmouth. Now, I've brought up Heather that way, I'm that way, and if you believe in something, you know, it's okay to make a stand. And again, that's one of the great things about this country. If you actually believe in something, you know, get out there and tell people what you believe in. And if people want to stand behind you and support you, hey, that's great. If not, at least it's your freedom, and you need to utilize that freedom to tell people how you feel. You know, I've got a 16-year-old daughter that I am so proud of because, you know, she is willing to stand up. She could have just said, Dad, you know what, just let this go. Don't say anything. You know, I don't want to get the heat for it. And then when they said she lied, she could have said, Dad, we're never going to be able to prove it. You know what, just let's not talk to anybody else. You know, let's just roll over and lay down and we'll pretend it never happened. And I think that's what they expected us to do, and that's what they wanted us to do.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they grabbed a bull by the horn here, and they didn't think that bull was going to be a 16-year-old girl from Florida.
Yes. I've got a ton of questions that are popping through as we go on, but I think one of the most important ones, and I intended to ask this before, but you got cut off, I think, around the time I was going to ask this. Is Heather's witness willing to talk to an investigative reporter?
Heather, what have they told you?
Now, there's more than one witness. There's actually a couple of them, and the majority of them are actually saying, you know, yeah, they would be willing to talk to anybody who wanted to speak with them as long as their names weren't released publicly out of fear of backlash from the school.
Yes, we can do that. At being underage, we can do that, okay? We have an obligation to do that, but guess what? The mainstream media walks all over that, too. as they are in this case. Here we're talking about a 16-year-old girl. So do I need to argue my case there? Yeah, we'll be interested in talking to some of the other witnesses, and we'll compare statements, and we'll get to the bottom of this. Well, all I can say here, we've got to end the show. I want to thank you for being on, and we'll have you on real soon, especially if something happens and you want to communicate that to our listening audience. You've got a lot of people out there who are supporting you, both of you, Mark, and you, Heather. And they're grateful for the stand that you've taken as Americans for the country, for the flag, and for the truth. And we're going to keep praying for your future. Heather, I want to encourage you to stay in school. You may
That's
have to
exactly
change.
That's exactly what I intend on doing.
Yeah, you may have to change schools. Stay in school, and their problems will work themselves out. One way or another, as the truth comes out, those problems will get resolved. But meantime, you should be focusing on your education and getting those good grades, okay?
Yep.
All right. Thank you both for coming on, and I look forward to your next interview.
Thank you
very much.
Oh, okay. Folks, you have been listening to Evident Footprints on bbsradio.com and our special guest, Mark and Heather Lawrence. This is certainly quite a bit different information from what I've been reading on the internet and from these media-owned internet sites. And I'm always suspicious of who writes the stories, especially when they specialize in sports and music. This is not a sport, and this is not music. And there's the spin, I guess, maybe the music has had some influence when you consider how fast a 45 turns around on a spindle. I want to thank Blog Talk and Wind Talkers Radio Network for airing this show tonight, as well as Don and Doug Newsom for making Evident Footprints possible. Both Seth Hendrick and Don Newsom on the sound tonight. We did a longer show. And most of all, you, the listening audience, for tuning in. I wish you a night filled with peace, love, and light, and have a good night.